Then let us indeed look at that place. Now we'll take a look at the new Mishnah. Now the problem is, of course, the Rebbe Yisrael isn't here, and we'll have to have the Zakein Shebechabur, the good doctor, is going to have to do the Zakein Heilige Mishnah. Can you do that? Can you do a good imitation? That's darn good. Okay. Where were you at? Yeah. Sukkah Yeshana. You have an older sukkah. You have a sukkah that was left over, basically, from some other usage. It was made more than 30 days. We'll see that Yeshana is defined by 30 days. It was made more than 30 days before the onset of Yantav. Why is 30 days significant? Because remember that halacha is that within 30 days of the chag, they're already giving drosha. Sholem v'dorshin v'chazakach, shoshim yom kodem l'chag. Therefore, if somebody would build a sukkah within the 30-day period, he doesn't have to specify it for a sukkah. It's obvious that during this time, when people are building up, they're going to get Dom, a guy builds a hut in the middle of the year and he doesn't say what it is that he's building, then it has no shaykh to sukkahs. Now, obviously, if you hold such a thing, if the Shammai says it's possible, he must hold, for some reason, we'll see where he gets it from, that a sukkah has to be made, l'shem sukkahs. Wow, unbelievable idea. So you can't just use a hut. It has to be something made for the mitzvah sukkah. Therefore, before 30 days, unless you specified that it was before sukkahs, then you have to assume it's not a sukkah. Ubeit Hillel makshirin. Ubeit Hillel says it has a chalokah. You don't need a sukkah that's made l'shma. Ezoi sukkah yishana. What defines this term of sukkah yishana? Kol sha'asa'a kodem l'chak shloshin yom, that you made it more than 30 days before the chag. Yeah, should I bring this closer? Not totally, this is okay. Abav, imasa'a l'shem chag. If l'maisa, you made it for sukkahs, then it doesn't matter when you made it. Even if tefillat hashanah kshira, even if you made it after the previous sukkah, you had a whole year after the next sukkah, but you say the ferush and make this shem sukkah, so then of course it's okay. There's no din in time. It's just din in assumption. So if you define it, then you define it. Now Rashi learns this last piece, of course, is only necessary alib the Beit Shammai, because alib the Beit Hillel, what's not coming in, asami tefillat hashanah. But Tesis brings a very interesting Yerushalmi, that even alib the Beit Hillel, you're supposed to be mechadesh something in the sukkah, a mashu in the sukkah. It should be even al pnei kol sukkah in the case that it was built earlier. So maybe according to that if it was made for Tatkimah, even before the Tashana, you wouldn't need that. Okay, that's an interesting halacha to be looked into later on. My time in the Beit Shammai, where does Beit Shammai get the halacha that a sukkah has to be made for sukkah? He says, look, it says in the Pasuk, Chag HaSukkot Shivat Yamin LaHashem. Make a sukkah Shivat Yamin LaHashem, which means Sukkah HaSuya LaShem LaChag Be'ina. It says Sukkah LaHashem. What's that Sukkah LaHashem? The Sukkah LaHashem must mean for the mitzvah of Hashem. He told you to make a sukkah. Make a sukkah in response to that deal. Therefore, means you need a sukkah made for the Chag. Ubeit Hillel. Ubeit Hillel says, that's not what the Pasuk means. Ahumi Baila with Reb Sheshes. That's a whole different thing. Reb Sheshes is famous drasha. The Omer Reb Sheshes is Shimon Be'akiva. Minayin la'atse sukkah asurim koshiva. How do we know that the wood of the sukkah, once you make it into a sukkah, you cannot use it for anything else all 7 days? So it's a new concept of mukta, which Tosis points out, if we're learning out from this pasuk. It means it's sort of a derived idea of something being miyuchet for the mitzvah, and you can't use it for anything else. It's called mukta machas mitzvah. I'm making it miyuchet for that purpose. In which case it... Huh? No, this... Here it's talking about atzei sukkah would be even the support of the sukkah. Tosfos asks, because it's very clear from other Gemaras that it's a derabbanan, as we bring raya's from this dinim of muktzah to the dinim of muktzah on Shabbos, and we bring raya legabe Rabbi Yehuda Shita for muktzah. How is it possible to say he's learning this out of a pasuk? The Tosfos is machalik between the wood that is necessary for the hechsher sukkah of the 7x7. Because that's also in your eyes, and the rest of it is just accessories. Or, it's also not kamina if it falls. Suppose sukkah collapses. The drabonin is that once it's asr, it's asr. So once it was hooked to the mitzvah, it remains hooked to the mitzvah. But this halakha is only what's actually being used. Now it's still kosher for the mitzvah. It's kosher for the mitzvah, you don't use it for the other purposes. So how do we know that? Says Rabbi Akiva. Talmud Omar, Chag HaSukkot Shivat Yamin, LaHashem. What's the job, LaHashem? Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Mesir Haimer. Look, Kishem Shechal Shem Shamayim ala Chagiga. The Chag itself, which is the Chagiga, Chag, that is a carbon. The carbon is Kodesh LaHashem. You're not allowed to use it for anything else. In the same way, that God's name makes the korban sacred, so too is the sukkah sacred. So in the same way, my korban, just the way that it's Shem Shemayim al Chagiga, Kak Kal Shem Shemayim al Sukkah, Shemar Chagas Sukkot Shivat Yamim La Hashem, Ma Chag La Hashem Af Sukkah La Hashem. So wait a minute, that's not a drush that Beit Shammai argues on. Beit Shammai would also agree to that, right? I mean, does everybody understand that that's the simple meaning of the Pasuk of Hashem? So Beit Shammai Nami Miboy Le'Loha. Doesn't Beit Shammai require the Pasuk to tell me La'Hashem? That's a whole different halacha than L'Shem Chag. And the truth is, it's a little disturbing to say Chag is La'Hashem means for the mitzvah of Hashem. We're always La'Hashem means some level of Kedusha. You're right. From that Pasuk, even Beit Shammai learns that it's a halacha in the Yichud of the mitzvah and the Kedusha of the mitzvah. Elamai tamayu de Beit Shammai. What then really is the basis of Beit Shammai's svara here in the Mishnah? That you need to have a sukkah made for the purpose of sukkah. A different pasuk completely. Tiv krak rina. It says, Chag HaSukkot. Here it's talking, Chag HaSukkot ta'aseh lecha shivat yamin. Was pekar migron tcho mikvecha. So that means this sukkah, hasuya, l'shem chag. What we do is we take the Chag HaSukkot, and we cut the pasuk to mean, read it, Sukkot ta'aseh l'chag, to make this sukkah for the chag, shivas yomi. That means a sukkah, suya l'shem chag b'ina. Says Beit Hillel, what indeed, I mean, the whole pasuk, what are we repeating it for? If you take a look through this sukkah, you have sukkah in the Torah, it's very, very repetitious. It seems like we're constantly introducing some new thing. But isn't chag Sukkot ta'aseh l'chag, shivas yomi? We know that. So over here, it's telling us that it should be l'shem chag. According to Beis Hillel, Beis Hillel says, there is a very important lesson from that pasuk. Chag HaSukkah Satan HaShivat Yomi means you could be making a sukkah all 7 days. So in other words, like this, you would say, Chag HaSukkah Satan HaShivat Yomi, the pshat, you need to make the sukkah for 7 days. That means if the sukkah was built, it wasn't built in time, it's not a sukkah. Because a sukkah means the place where you will be for 7 days. If you can't be there for 7 days, it's the middle of Yom Tov, you can't put up a sukkah. This is not a sukkah for 7 days. So it's not therefore roi to be a sukkah. Comes along the pasuk to say for all 7 days you can be building a sukkah. That's the point. So Mimela, the drasha, is telling me that a sukkah is kosher even though it's not for Kosheva. Why does Beit Shammai hold that it means dafka the other way? Because Beit Shammai feel the correctly answer. He holds that dafka you do not make a sukkah during kolamayit because it's no longer a sukkah that's l'shiva. You have to make that sukkah first before yanta in order that it should be a sukkah of shivas yamim. Beit Hillel, let's go to Rav Yehuda Merav. Dama Rav Yehuda Merav pasa'om in hakotzi nanimi. I don't get it. Let's say Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel seems to be saying you can make a sukkah basically for the purposes of a garage for your car, have absolutely no concept that it's for a sukkah, then suddenly come along and say, oh, this garage makes a nice sukkah. I'll sit in it. That's easily what he's saying. There's no concept of lishma at all. So how come by making tzitzis we don't say that? How come when it comes to tzitzis, Rav Yehuda Amar Rav says, "Asa'am min akotzi, min animi, min agaradin." Let's say that you make your tzitzis out of various types of threads that were not made the chachila for tzitzis. So you have, let's say, the when you finish making a baguette, you always have the chutim that are coming down off of the weave that normally are cut off. You know, so that way you cut the loose threads cut them off. He cuts it off. Okay, so he decides he's going to use it now for tzitzis. What did I cut it off for? I have anyway strings hanging. Let me fix it. Or if you sewed, let's say, beautiful design or a cuff around the edges of a baguette, and now there were some threads that were left over from the sewing. Or let's say that the baguette had caught on something. You tied it so that the chutim were able to weave them. But now you've got where you tied it. You've got like coats. You've got like things sticking out. If you're planning on cutting the scissors, so I'll use that for the scissors. None of that is good. Tula. But if you make it min hasisin, hasisin means regular balls of bread that wasn't made specifically for tzitzis, that's okay. So in other words, if I put it into the beged for tzitzis, even though it wasn't tavui, it wasn't from for tzitzis, and it's just regular threads that I buy in the store, it's kosher. But if I use that which was there, which was not put into the beged for tzitzis, then it's not kosher. So why, if I have a sukkah that wasn't made for sukkah, is it any different than a beged with strings that were made for tzitzis? And in fact, says Rav Yehuda Merab, remember, Rav Yehuda learned by Rav first, was his Talmud. When Rav was nifter, he went to learn by Shmuel. Very often he would say over the Shmuelis of Rav in front of Shmuel, and Shmuel would disagree. This is one of his cases. This is Ki Amrita Kameda Shmuel. Later on, when I became a Talmud of Shmuel, I said over this thing. And Shmuel said, no, that's not true. Hamarli Akminati Sinami Psula. You can't even use a ball of thread that wasn't originally spun for tzitzit. So it's even the tviya, even the spinning of the thread, also has to be l'shem tzitzit. So why is it that tzitzit is any different than the sukkah over here? Because being a tviya l'shma, tzachinami neboi sukkah. Atziya l'shma. I understand, what is the difference between a sukkah and a tzitzit? The words seem extremely the same in a sukkah. Well, it says gedilin tasa l'cha. L'cha means for the purpose of your mitzvah. Excuse me. Same thing by sukkah. Chagat sukkah, tasa l'cha. Same word. L'cha l'shem kova. Yeah, but their l'cha by sukkah means you shouldn't steal the sukkah. That's the pshat. So there means it's got to be your own. L'mute gzula. And the tzitzis, it means same thing by the tzitzis. So also nami, the boy l'mute gzula. When it says l'cha, gedilin tasa l'cha. So those gedilin are supposed to be l'cha, to be yours and not stolen. I don't understand why. Just arbitrarily you're going to darsh a pasuk differently. When it comes to the sukkah, it comes to the tzitzis. But it's not arbitrarily. There's another pasuk. V'yasu lahem tzitzis. What's right about v'yasu lahem? V'yasu lahem means out of your own threats. V'yasu lahem mishalem. So now I already know that my tzitzis can't be stolen. It says it has to be mine. So now I think, so why does it say v'yum tazel loch? Oh, must be loch l'shem the chob that you have, being the shem mitzvah. My shem came by the sukkah, where it says takachiro tazel loch. Over there, the lacha has got to mean, says Beit Hillel, the psulim gizula, which is more immediate of an explanation. The word lacha, yours, I mean yours, your own, in terms of possession, or for the purpose of something which is on you, possession is more immediate, the meaning of lacha, it's a possessive lacha. From the male, that's what it's coming to tell me, says Beit Hillel. The maisa, he takes it, it's a very important place of your lacha, it's a game all over Shas. Tosfos asks, what do we need a pasuk for? It would be a mitzvah b'avera.
Yeah.
Right, so then it should be that we should say, you can't be going to tell me that, because I'll say, here, this is like one of the places where we introduce the question, what precisely constitutes mitzvah b'avera? What would be the din if it's changed in some fashion? If there's a kinyan on it, and already we don't look at the gazela. And most importantly, the suggestion that maybe mitzvah b'avera is only a derabbanan. Thank you.
Quick.
It's so nice of you. That's special.
The cardiac moment.
Beautiful. These are things that make me happy when I come here. This is such a humanity. It's such a warmth.
Perhaps he's happy because we're overdeeming.
Even with all my complexes, right? Right? So maybe the din of mitzvah b'avera is zanigabon. And now, so over here, we're making it a pool of your eyes. Anyway, again, it's not time to discuss anything, but I'm just raising the issue. We should consider it later on. This would be very negative. So talk about it.
Really, just to clarify, so Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel would agree that even in 30 days, if you knew that the guy hadn't made it the shame sukkah, so then it's possible. It's just that in the case where you don't know.
No, Beit Hillel indeed is saying that you can use the rush.
Except
according to the Yerushalmi, which Tosfos brought, which we'll have to discuss when we come later on in the Yom Tov Tasa V'Lo Menachos. By the way, I just want to say to you, that there are those Rishonim, and Tosfos brings that Rashi himself says this, it's not here. Tosfos is not here, but also it occurs in a lot of places. That the issue over here is indeed a task of Illuminati issue, not an issue of the Yomishma. Because what happens over here is that the strings were there as an incidental result of the weaving process, of another process. So now there's the Chalal Noasi, a different problem. You'd have the same thing with a Sukkah. If, let's say, instead of putting down stock, you dig out a hay, let's say a hay pile, and now you have a Sukkah. But you never put down tzchach. You just now, ex post facto, turned what wasn't tzchach, became tzchach, because now there's a hole under it. And that seems to be much more similar to this idea. And that indeed is possible for us. Again, I just want to raise the issue. When we get to the Dinim Tatsu Lamanosi later on, we'll get to exactly such a case, digging out a hay pile. You know, and we'll see what exactly is the Gemara asking here. The one that tells us is Makhavika, but we'll get there when we come to those. The good doc is on. Somebody builds a sukkah under a tree. You might as well have built it in your house. There's one very fascinating thing here. What are you telling me? Somebody, what are you saying? Okay, the apostle part the Gemara is going to say. So say, sukkah takasa ilan. This is a very interesting psak of the Ramah. The Ramah's psak is, don't make your sukkah under a tree, even if it would be kosher, because the tree doesn't have 6 degrees at all. That's basically what the Mishnah seems to be saying. I'll discuss what happens if somebody did this. But I'll never tell you to do it. Why? Because it's so easy. And it's like, but always be very careful there's no trees. Why? Because maybe at the time that you put the sukkah there, maybe it's fine. And then the tree starts growing, you don't realize there's not more leaves, and so on and so forth. Therefore, it says it always like a b'diavad. You did it. Okay, now let's discuss the halacha. Halacha is it's like putting it in the house. Why don't you just say it's possible? Try to say it's possible. That's the Gemara we'll discuss. If you build one sukkah on top of another sukkah, so then ha'el yonak she'ra v'atachona psula. The upper sukkah is kosher, because the bottom sukkah now becomes basically the base of the top sukkah, perhaps. Let's see what the cases are. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, im en diorim be'el yonah ha'tachtona kshira. If you can't have people living in the upper sukkah, meaning what the Gemara will explain later, it won't support them. But if they tried to stand on the back of the lower sukkah, the whole thing would collapse. So then we see the whole thing as one sukkah. You're standing basically in the lower sukkah. The upper sukkah doesn't have any shame of a separate bite because you can't go into it. You just fall through the roof. So then the lower sukkah is kosher. Now this is a very special case. It's not the same as building a sukkah in the house. Because a sukkah, takas a sukkah, requires that there be a din of a sukkah in the upper sukkah. In other words, let's say I build a sukkah, takas a sukkah, where the roof of the upper sukkah is, for instance, not 10 tefachim above the bottom sukkah. You say, you don't have a sukkah. So then I look at the combination as being one sukkah. So this sukkah on top, this sukkah on the bottom, who cares? So then in Okiyami, there wouldn't be a problem. It's only a problem where the upper sukkah is actually a real sukkah. Not because of the problems of non-kosher sukkah and things like building in the bayit, but because we're going to darshan a pasuk that since it says basukat teshu shivat yamim, instead of basukot teshu shivat yamim, in terms of the way the pasuk is written, the Torah is telling me don't sit in a dual sukkah. So if the upper one doesn't have a din of a sukkah for some reason, then it's not a pagan. So these are really very, very different halachas. A sukkah takas a sukkah is a unique case, not similar to building a sukkah inside of a house. You say, once I made a sukkah, so I put another sukkah. It's the same thing as building a sukkah in a house. Not true. Because the sikhuk of the upper sukkah is also kosher sikhuk. So what am I doing wrong? They have another sukkah in it. So maybe there is a kosher. Therefore, we have to distinguish our halachas very much. If I put my sukkah in a house, it doesn't matter how much room there is between the roof and the sukkah. The sukkah is possible because it doesn't have basically any sikhuk. I'm bringing it into a place where it's a bayit and not a sukkah. Omar Rav, lo shanu ela b'ilan, shetil tomu b'chamato. The only time that we're saying this, that there's something wrong with having your sukkah under the ilan, well, shouldn't say something wrong, because we were just medayek from the Ramos Tzach, that he means there's always something wrong, because there might be something critically wrong. Okay, so that's not the right language to use. But when we say that if a sukkah is made under an ilan, that then it's not kosher. It's as if building it in a house. That's only if the ilan was like a house. So an ilan, what are you going to say? Wow, it's nice natural leaves. But it's not kosher. Because we learn out from the din of Tzolas Gorim V'Yekif that it has to be something that is not attached to the ground. We actually learn it out from Gan Eden. The Eid Yalev. And Eid is not Chubel LaKarka, but we'll see about that. It's a marvelous thing. That was so over there, the din is that those leaves might as well be a roof. That's not how natural it looks, it's important. But if that's the case, then it's only if it has a din that passes in terms of sukkah. The din of a sukkah, remember, is that you have more shade than sun. So suppose the ilan has more sun than shade, so it's irrelevant to the sukkah that's under it. If it's irrelevant to the sukkah that's under it, so chamatom rubam itzalakor. Sheirat? And you know what? Take a look at the way the Mishnah writes it. The Mishnah is basically coming to tell me this. Isn't that a strange way of saying halacha? You put a sukkah under a tree, you might as well have built it in the house. But just tell me it's possible, for God's sake. What's this? You might as well. Just say possible. It's trying to tell me something, that the ilan that I'm talking about, or that I'm saying it's possible, is only if it's dumia labayit. So if a bayit, by definition, a bayit has a roof, a bayit so it's tzelatom, rubam nechamato. The roof is a complete roof, so you're always going to have more tzel than chama. You don't have any chama coming through the roof. Av ilan. What type of ilan are we referring to that is possible? Ki ilu asabatom habayit. Dafka an ilan, which is tzelatom, rubam nechamato. Now, asked the question, which will be the source of so much discussion for us through the sugya. The Gemara asks like this: and so what if it's chamatomi ubami telatomai abi? Who cares if there's plenty of sunlight pouring through the tree? Is it not true that hakomitzaret chach pasul baharit chach kasher? The tree itself is chach, it's pasul because it's mechuber. And we are using some of that cell for the lower sukkah. Now, does that mean that we're taking for granted that the case is that I need to have that additional cell that's coming from the tree in order to have a sufficient amount of cell underneath? Or is it saying that by definition, even if the sukkah underneath would have had sufficient cell on its own, that nonetheless the very fact that in reality the shade that's coming on the ground, when I sit in that sukkah, is actually a product of non-kosher schach and kosher schach together, then I have to worry about the fact that I've been mitzareh schach posel with schach kosher for some strange reason. Why would that be? What do I care? So Tosfos indeed says of Yom, obviously, I mean, what are we talking about? We've got to be talking about a case where we need that cell. I mean, if without it, you have a perfectly kosher sukkah underneath, can't we just effectively ignore it, right? And then just say, who cares? I mean, as long as we have a kosher sukkah underneath, so what do we really care about the cell on top anyway? That's the opposite extreme. In other words, if I have a kosher sukkah, you're going to tell me that as long as it's not under a roof, I don't have to worry about anything. But let's ignore the tree for a moment and say, what would happen if there were no tree here? Would I have now a kosher sukkah underneath? And I would say, yeah, sure, it's fine, nice big sukkah. Okay, so now I'll put a tree there. How did the tree make the sukkah possible? It's not a sukkah tachas a sukkah. It's not a sukkah tachas a bayis. What's the problem now? Start off with the kosher sukkah. Now this raises all kinds of issues. According to Tosfos, hein hachinami, such a sukkah would be kosher. No din of tzila. In which case it's rather strange. Tosfos, as from other cases, makes a chiluk, as we'll see in our sugya, between what comes first. Did the kosher sukkah come first? Or was the area already a place that wasn't suitable for a sukkah because it was stalier from before? But then he's got a big problem, because later on it says, if you have a kosher sukkah and you put a sheet over it, do you want to protect the sukkah? Happens a lot of times. You put a sheet in order to prevent maybe flies or dust or whatever, the mosquito netting. So now there's apostles in you, but it's not being over the sukkah, so not the sukkah's possible. This is why the heck would it be possible? since it was a kosher sukkah, you might as well effectively ignore anything else that's on top of it. Since I'm saying the ilam is on top of it, it's kosher, well, we're not clean up, there's a sadin on top of it. Because of that, Tosfos has to explain that sukkah in a completely different way and say that the reason that a sheet on top of a sukkah would parcel a perfectly kosher sukkah is not because of the shade of the sheet, but it's because the sheet protects the schach from drying out and from falling or blowing away, and therefore you're dependent on the sheet. You're dependent on the sheet, that's called a ma'amid. A ma'amid can parcel the schach, because now you need the thing that's parcel, a kabotum or whatever, that's why, of course, we don't use, I'm sure you see people mock it not to use metal to hold up the schach, right? Even though you're not using the metal as the schach, they'll put wood down the dock. Some people follow the Shikra Kazamish that you can't even use nails, because then the metal of the nails are holding up the thing which is holding up the schach, so now the whole thing boils down to being supported on nails. Nails in a kabel tumah, not kosher. Okay, it depends how far you want to take this, but that's a completely different tool. Nothing to do with the sale of the schach, but rather to do with the dependency on the governess for kabel tumah, my meat. Okay? Keep that into consideration. I'm just opening up the sugyas now, because all of these things are going to start flying around later on. So these are thoughts we need to have. Is tziruf a din where I need the tziruf, or is tziruf simply a din where the reality is that the schach is being created? Is there a psul dafka being under it? Is there a psul because of its amaimid of it? Does it make an afkamina which one comes first? Or is it just a din in the results? If I have a problem of tziruf, is it only when I added something fossil on top of the sukkah? Or could I add something fossil underneath the sukkah? Let's say a vine grows up now under the sukkah. Can I say, maybe the case of the sukkah under the tree is because the tree comes first, stops the light of the sun from coming, and now I'm not sitting in the tail of the sukkah. But if the tail of the sukkah comes first, who cares now if there's a vine above my head? That's not going to possible the sukkah. That's a big machlokas. The gross says it certainly will. It will possible even if it's from underneath, even though the cases in the Gemara I'll talk about on top. So this sugya needs to take into consideration many variables, all of which we have to try to keep in mind as we go through and see if we can be machalic between the cases. Because there's going to be, as there always is in a complex sugya, a lot of cases. Each case adds another little bit, forces us to reconsider everything that we thought until now. So we start off, okay, let's start off simplistically. We need it, talking about that we're being mitzarefit. We've got now a combination of schach kosher on my sukkah, but my schach kosher wouldn't work unless I had a couple of the branches of a tree that's on top. And therefore the Gemara is saying, how can you have schach, which is partially schach on a tree, which wouldn't be kosher? And now the Gemara is asking on Rav, why are you telling me that the Mishnah, the diet, that it has to be dafka if it's in the house? And if I'm using the tail of a pasula tree, pasula schach, that's good. Even if I'm using partially, that's good. That shouldn't be good because I'm being mitzarev. I need schach posel. If I need schach posel, so then look, all right, posel the sukkah. Again, let's get it inside. Es v'gemara v'chichamatom rubam itzilatom ha'avi. Who cares if lamaita, the tree itself wouldn't have been enough to be maksha because it's too much sun? So what? But I'm still using the part of the shade of the tree, am I not? For kamitzarev schach posel v'hadis schach kasher. Omarev, Papa, it's talking about Bishakav Tan. Talking about now, here is a major sugya that has things to do with checking your lettuce, with a million different things that happen all day long. Why? Because Rashi's Pshat Bishakav Tan is that you lowered the tree, the branch of the tree, you pulled them down, and you interwove them with the schach that's kosher, and therefore you created a tarevah. So now you have a mixture. Since you have most schach kosher, so like any other road, the schach posel becomes bottle to the schach kosher, and now you can add in even posel of things in exactly the same way. If you have a mixture of trace things, non-kosher things in a pudding, then fine, you can eat it, as long as you have whatever the requirements are, depending on this, sometimes it's roast, sometimes shishim, or whatever the case is. But there's a concept called bittul b'roast. So over here, your mevatel, you have two solid things. The din is in case of bittul b'roav, you go according to b'roav, you don't need shishim and so on. The mevatel, here you have a tremendous problem. This problem, many of the Rishonim ask on Rashi, how can you say such a pshat? If I look carefully, can't I see which branches are connected to the tree? So then that's not called a tarovis. A tarovis, by definition, means everything looks like a mixture. I can't pick out the thing which is posel from the thing which is kosher, the thing that's straight from the thing that's kosher. I can't pick it out. If I can't pick it out, the Torah gives me this halacha that this is in a bitul. Over here you can pick it out. Just go take a look. Trace the branches of the tree, and now you'll see which things are tree. Pull them out. Get them out of here. What right do you have to sit and be sitting on a tarufus? It's unbelievable to say such a thing. Furthermore, the Rishonim that ask on Rashi, this is in a vein of Atanisilas Achila. What do you mean by Shechotah? You're not allowed. One, if something happened that made the mixture, so you could rely that, okay, you go according to your role. But if you go ahead and make the mixture l'chachila, say, well, I have a great idea. I got some lard. Well, I'll throw it out. I'll mix it into a big cholin, you know, and I'll be mavatal it. Then I'm not allowed to use it. So over here, you're taking the branches of the tree. You're making a tarobis, and now you're going to use it? In mavatal it to l'chachila. So on that, there's a beautiful terrace. I think the Balamir comes from there. The din of ein mavatal it to l'chachila shana tova. Is on things that you want to use to ingest. You want to use for your pleasure. Mitzvahs are not for ingesting, and mitzvahs are not la'emes. They're not personal. So over there we never made an isser to be mevatel l'chatchila. You're trying to create a chesed shel mitzvah. So go create a chesed shel mitzvah. What's wrong? But the other issue, of course, everybody has some Rashi. And implications of Rashi's approach are that tarovis does not mean something that cannot be teased apart. Tarovis means something where you don't see what is the separate parts. In other words, it's difficult to tease apart.
And then,
correct, but I could trace it if I tried very hard.
There.
Exactly. Exactly. That's exactly the point. In which case, if I have a bug in lettuce, and it's very, very hard for me to trace, you'll say, okay, what do you mean? But it's not really mixed. Not true. It may be a bilious, the Rabbanan said it's not bottled. But as far as the rice is concerned, what Rashi is saying is it's bottled, it's mixed. The Rabbanan were mitake not to allow a birya to be bottled in a row. Okay, so then you're dealing with an Issur Rabbanan. You're not dealing with an Issur D'oraisa. Once you're dealing with an Issur Rabbanan, and you don't know that it's there, so it's going to now be Basic Issur. There must be a bug. Well, it must there be a bug? You don't see any bug. In other words, everybody takes for granted this is not bottled when you're eating 1,000 lavin every day, when you eat a piece of lettuce and so on. Mehekatesa. I mean, what Rashi is saying over here. It's certainly bottle with your eyes, and there's no bug here at all. The only shaila is whether you need to be marked on a derabona, because derabona say an insect, a whole, an entire living organism is never bottle. But fine, okay, so show me one and I'll get rid of it. I look. I mean, what am I supposed to do now? I mean, I should assume that it's there and I don't see it. Why should I assume it's a subject derabona? Why should I assume it's there and I don't see it? So that changes the complete, by Rashi's definition of Tarubis here, it changes completely your whole approach to these circuits. You don't start with Anokha, it's a Diraisa. You start with Anokha, that you're dealing with a Darabona. There are those who show them to say a completely different shot in Raja Bishpavta. Because of this, they hold it's not a Tarubis. So they hold Chokta means you banged on the branches until finally all the leaves fell off. So now you don't have it. So then what's finished? Okay, but that's how they understand the question of Gemara.
On a second question, in terms of, like, say, creating the situation where you're going to be bottled, etc. But Shiva doesn't apply, maybe the guy doesn't know. Let's assume somebody's in the kitchen and they don't know what this mixture is and they mix it in, and later on they find out what this was. So then you wrote, I think, the classic case of Roy.
So you could say, it wasn't done on purpose.
And over here,
but the person thought that he was able to put in the.
This
is the case. He went ahead and he made it there. So how did he make it kosher? It's difficult to believe. Oh, he thought that. Markbid's not even an issue. If it's a din in Taruvus, why is it not an issue? Other than Bishakatam does not create Taruvus. Bishakatam means you remove the problem.
which makes the Gemara much more difficult. If you move the problems, the found nothing to discuss. There's no branches there at all. Why Rashi rejects that job? Because the Gemara asks, well, then what's the Kiddush B'chlal? Yibur Shekhafta, Maila Bambas, what's the Kiddush? Ma, the Taman needs a Hechad HaKhafta, not a Hechad HaKhafta. Because you might think, I mean, once we're going to allow you to make, to utilize your Sukkah under a tree just because it's mixed. So maybe you won't realize that that was the whole point, that it was mixed to the extent it was called that way. So we say, okay, come to tell us we don't make such a gzeira. But according to those sheeters in the Rishonim, there are no leaves. We're making gzeira where there are no leaves. Say, I might have thought that we should be gzeira where there is no kach pas, a lot where there is kach pas is mad. How can you think such a thing? There's nothing to be gzeira. That's the time it gets the other approaches. Kamashon lo gzeira. Says the Gemara, but that can't be. You see, that can't be the chiddush. You're telling the whole chiddush is that there's no gezeira about utilizing the elon. It says that chiddush in the next Mishnah because it talks about a similar case. Tanina hidla alea et hagefa. It says that if you went ahead and you trained a vine from a gefen to grow on it, or a vine from a pumpkin, a dalat, or a vine, a tisus, one of those, you know, vine, what are the, you know, the vines they used to grow on walls, ivy, or ivy on. The sichek al gaban. So now, you went ahead, and you put the schach on top now of the trellis that you made, that's got these things. So im hayasichu harbe mehen. So if you've got a lot of kosher schach, and there's rove kosher schach, Osha cuts it on, or you cut now the vine so that the vine is no longer a kurala karka, so then it's kosher. Now, what is that supposed to be talking about? Ekidon, even a bit shalom kaftan. It's done that it's done. You don't have any mixture. And you're saying that it's kosher because you've got, I understand. How come it's tired schachpots and schach kosher? If it wasn't mixed, so then you have the whole problem of using partially growing things, that's the same as a tree. I can't be talking about that. El alav kishakhaftan. He's got to be talking about now that you did mix it. Vishmamina the lo gazrina. So I already see from that mishnah that there's no din of gezera. It's not coming to the tree or the vine. Exactly the same case. It's telling me that it's kosher if you were kovet. Yes, you see, because ma'adatem anemid of the yabah. Avalakatchila lo. The point over here is I might think that only if such a thing happens, okay, if you made your sukkah already that way, we'll let you use it. By the saying over both cases, I'm telling you there's a din of lechatchila as well, and that you can go ahead and do it. Here, of course, it becomes obvious if we're talking about bitul lechatchila. Sukkah agabi sukkah, tanu rabbanan. Where do we know that a sukkah agabi sukkah is possible? Because it says, basukot teshvu. You have to sit in sukkahs, and not in a sukkah under a sukkah, and not in a sukkah shetakas ha'ilam, and not in a sukkah shetakas ha'bayit. I don't understand what you're talking about. But sukkot is mashma plural, isn't it? In multiple sukkot teshvu. So that should be even the nested sukkot. Aren't you saying the inner sukkah of a nested sukkot? Omer of Nachvayit, no, you missed the point. We're darshaning over here the way that it's written. It's written basukat teshvu. So therefore, it's basukat teshvu in a single sukkah. Not in Sukkot, not in a double Sukkah. Tosis points out from here that since the Gemara does not say that this is dependent to the Machlokas of Yesh Eim LeMikra or Yesh Eim LeMasorah, because we're darshan the way that it's written, that of course everybody's Meida, that we darshan the way it's written. Even the Mandi Amar holds Yesh Eim LeMikra is only saying the Iker way of understanding the Pasuk is the way it's read. But there's a reason why the Torah wrote it that way. Even according to him, we need to look into, so why did the Torah leave out the vav? To teach me that there's an element of it. Fine, I need the Pesukot to tell me how many walls, maybe. I'll leave it to review the Rabbon we had yesterday. But there's also a question, why does it write it without the vav? Well, it's a different thing. That's to be Merames, that she can't be sitting in a nest of Sukkot. So the Pesukot is really a Basukot. That's what we're dashing. Omer of Yirmiyah. But the truth is that the Mishnah is very misleading. Because you can't make a blanket statement and say that if there's a sukkah, gabi sukkah, that by definition, under any and all circumstances, the upper sukkah is kosher and the lower sukkah is pasul. I'll have you know that pa'amim kishteim kshirot, it is possible for me to construct a case where both sukkahs are kosher. And pa'amim kishteim psulot, I could construct a case where both sukkahs are actually pasul. And I could construct an opposite case, where only the lower sukkah is kosher, but the upper sukkah is possible. And I can construct the case where the lower case, indeed like the Mishnah, that this lower sukkah is pasul, and the upper sukkah alone is kosher. So let's not be overly simplistic about this. However, since my airplane probably doesn't want to wait for us to go through all of the possible combinations, you know, perhaps we should do this when we get back to Daf Yud. Tomorrow we'll do the Zayin, right? But we'll catch up. Thank you for allowing me to...